You know, the Bible has more stories in it than it does doctrine. You ever notice that? Story after story after story. And so God wants us to glean from those stories the things that he wants us to have. So let's lift up our Bibles or iPads or whatever device you have. If you don't have your Bible with you, just your hand to honor the Word of God. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. And today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I'll never be the same, because I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. Never in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Well, this has really been a fun spring and summer going through the last series and now this series on Joseph, the Joseph testimony, the journey of faith that we did, man, 12 of those steps. It's awesome. By the way, if you do want to take this home, go ahead. But I'm trying to keep the outlines that we've done on the inside the last couple weeks. And today I have it down as 3A because I had this all ready to go. And God said, now wait a minute, you need to go back and read the story. And so that's what we're going to do. It's a good story, and we're going to glean some things from it, okay? So, as we review, we know the first thing that happened to Joseph was he dreamed some dreams. Anybody ever dreamed some dreams that gave direction in your life? Isn't it wonderful? Mary and I are here today. What's the date today? June 2nd, 2024, because of God-given dreams. We are here because of God-given dreams. So when people say dreams aren't for today, hogwash. They are for today. Amen? And we can hang on to them. And so because of his dreams about the sheaves bowing down to him and the sun and the moon and the stars, the old devil decided, okay, we're going to shut this dreamer up. Didn't work, did it? And then after that, he went into the test because I love Psalm 105, verse 19. The word of the Lord tested him. And that's really interesting because most time we think, well, it's the devil that's testing us. No, it's the word of the Lord that's testing us. And we need to learn all we can learn in the middle of those tests. He had to wait 13 years for his position, 22 years for his dream to come true. So how long are you willing to wait for God's destiny to come to pass in your life? How long are we willing to wait to trust God for a breakthrough? How long are we willing to wait to see the answer to the prayers that we've been praying? How long are we willing to wait for the declarations that we continue to make season after season after season? Keep going. That's the spirit of encouragement. So today, as we start the testimony, it's still kind of between the test and the testimony, right? Because without the test, you have money. So, all right. So let's read Genesis chapter 39, verses 1-5. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of the Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. So seemingly, it looked pretty bad. I mean, Joseph's brothers threw him in the pit. They claimed that he was dead to his dad. They took his beautiful coat, spread animal blood on it, and said, Dad, your son's dead. Dead. Wow. And now, not only he went through all that, now he's bought as a slave. And he was put in chains and fetters and hauled to Egypt. And anyway, the captain of the guard bought him. And the Lord was with Joseph. Get this. The Lord was what? Was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. By the way, for our young'uns that are doing, I didn't have time to do the fill in the blanks. So circle anything that's bold or underlined. All right? The Lord was with Joseph. Say, the Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. The Lord is always with me. All right. And he was a successful man. And you might notice in your outline, there's some other lines there in verse 2 and 3 and 4. And we're going to go over that as a testimony probably next week. But the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. Anybody here not want to be successful in life? Good. Does anybody here want to be successful in life? Amen. All right. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. So a pagan god, a pagan Egyptian serving pagan gods, he was the master in the house. And the Lord is with Joseph. And the master saw that the Lord was with him. Whoa. There was a testimony there, wasn't there? There was something on Joseph, and it was the hand of God. But the master saw that the Lord was with him. And this is the Lord Jehovah. And that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So did Joseph do a lot of things right? Yeah, great leader. Everything else that he did in that house, he did right because the master saw that. Verse 4. So Joseph found favor in his sight. Why wouldn't he? If you had somebody working for you in your business and they were doing everything right, would that get your attention? Yeah, it does. So Joseph found favor in his sight, and, key word, we forget that we are servants of the Most High God, and we serve people at the same time. Then he made him an overseer of his house and all that he had put under his authority. Whoa. So talk about going from the pit where he was. And you can go to the pit to the palace. He's on his way to the palace here. And now he's in charge of the house. All that he had put under his authority, verse 5. So it was from the time that he had made him an overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed. You all carry a blessing every footstep you take at work, on the airplanes, wherever you are, in the hospital, wherever you are, in the midst of a bad situation, a bad job, or a bad place you go, you are blessed. That place is blessed because your feet are blessed. Say, my feet are blessed. We carry a blessing of God with us wherever we go. Hallelujah. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. That's awesome. And so, the emphasis of the Lord was with Joseph, I thought about Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. And I found this also in the Passion, but it says, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. Isn't that nice? Isn't that promise wonderful? A fabulous promise. Now let's look at it in the Passion translation. I'll not loosen my grip on your life. Isn't that cool? I just think that's cool. He can never loosen his grip on. Good word. Anyway, so I came up with five things here about being great in the kingdom. I have a question here. Jesus asked his disciples this. He said, so do you want to be great in the kingdom of God? He asked them that. So if I looked at all of you and asked you the same question, do you want to be great in the kingdom of God? Little ones, some you can still be great your age. You want to be great in the kingdom of God? Let that resonate in you. Let that get in your heart. It's worth everything to be great in the kingdom. It's worth everything to be sold out for God. I love that. So we want to be great for the kingdom of God? Well, here's five things to help us along with that. You ready? Know that God is for us. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir here. But know that God is for us and never, never against us. He is for us. Number 2, be the servant of all. Just like Joseph did in Potiphar's house. He was the servant of all. Jesus told his disciples this. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, then be a servant of all. Number three, walk in the utmost highest level of forgiveness on a day-to-day-to-day basis. Every day is an opportunity to be offended. Every day is an opportunity to forgive. Every day is an opportunity to walk in the power of God. Hallelujah. And there's going to be opportunities that are going to come along where we're going to get ticked off at somebody. Somebody does something stupid. You know, some people really have stupid in their DNA. And they need to get born again. And they need the power of God to come in and redo that DNA. I don't do the dumb things I used to do. Praise God. I wouldn't be holding this microphone. But God regenerates, see? Isn't that it? Isn't that what being born again is? Being regenerated from the old man to the new man? Hallelujah. I like my new man much better than the old man. And I've told this story before. I was in a church preaching, and one of the elders came up to me and said, "Oh, Pastor Mike, you should have seen me back in the day. Now, you would have loved it." I said, "I would have hated it." I just came right on him and said, "I would have hated it because that old man is dead." Say dead. Our old man is dead. We got to remember that. He's got to stay. Now, keep him in the grave, man. Don't resurrect him. Yeah. So walk in the utmost highest level of forgiveness on a day-to-day, moment-to-moment basis. Number four, I know I didn't number him, but that's okay. Bless sandpaper people. Hello. We all got them. Bless them. Do something. Ask God, how can I bless them? How can I be a blessing? What can I say to them? How can I change this? Jesus said in Matthew 5:44, I didn't have this on the outline, Larry. I wrote this early this morning. Jesus said four things in Matthew 5:44. The first thing he said was, hate your enemy. No, thank you. Love your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy. That's number one of this list of four. The second thing he said there was, bless those who curse you. There are people that purposely say bad things about us, and we have to bless them. The third thing, do good to those that hate you. That's a challenge. Really hard. Really goes against our nature to bless somebody that may hate us. And fourth, pray for those who spitefully use us and persecute us. That's what Jesus said. Pretty simple, isn't it? Matthew 5. All right, so that was number four on this list. I got all sorts of four and five lists today. And number five is pass your tests, even false accusations. You know, that's kind of a weakness of mine. I really don't like it when you tell me, accuse me falsely of something I didn't do. If I've done something wrong, smack me upside the head and hit me with two before, that's fine. But if I haven't done it, shut your mouth. You know, but it's a bother. But, you know, we are going to be falsely accused, or can be falsely accused at certain times, right? And so let's go into this story now. I love reading this story. I've read this, I can't tell you how many times. But we're going to go to Genesis chapter 39. We're going to read 7 through 15. And it came to pass after these things. Now, what are these things here? That's after Joseph was given priority in Potiphar's house. He was second to Potiphar outside of Potiphar's wife. Okay? As we'll see. It came to pass after these things that Potiphar's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph and said, "Come and lie with me." Verse 8. But he refused. What was one of the steps? One of the 12 steps. Okay, test time. One of the 12 steps in the journey of faith that we went over was refuse a satanic compromise. So here it overlaps. And he was offered a satanic compromise. But he refused. Refused the satanic compromises that would take us down. And he said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what it is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand." Now, this was the guy whose brothers just told their father a period of time back that he was dead. And he's committed all that he has into my hand. Verse 9. "And there's no one greater in this house than I." Think about that for a second. Can you imagine looking at this guy's wife and going, "There's nobody greater in this house but me, except you. Nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you're his wife. How then could I do this great wickedness?" And here comes a real powerful statement. It's not a sin against man. It says, "and sin against God." He had somebody bigger than all the situation to answer to, and his name was God. Isn't that cool? Verse 10. Love these stories. "So it was, as she spoke to Joseph once a week, once a month." Yeah. What's that old crappy song? "Day by day," whatever. Forget it. "Day by day." Come on. Come on. It's there. It's there. And it just keeps going and keeps going. Would you shut up? Stop. I need to sleep. Stop. Day by day, day by day, the devil is relentless to tear down somebody that is full of greatness. The devil wanted to take Joseph down. He failed once before this. Day by day, hallelujah, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. He refused satanic compromise. Verse 11. "But it happened about this time when Joseph went in the house to do his work, none of the men of the house were inside." Uh-oh. Verse 12. "And she caught him by his garment, to lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled, and ran outside." Run as fast as you can. Verse 13. "So it was when she saw that he had left his garment in her house and fled outside." Verse 14. "That she called all the men of her house, spoke to them, saying, 'See, he has brought us into... brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. And he came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened. And when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, he left his garment with me and fled and went outside." What a lie. Yeah. Now, let's pick this up at verse 20. "But God." Everyone say, "But God." We're going to do a "But God" today. "Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison." So first, his brothers tried to kill him. Then they lied about him being dead. And then he was put into chains and fetters. And then he got sold as a slave. Come on, this isn't... They didn't serve him roast beef for dinner here. And now he's going back in prison. Come on, God, I thought I was going to be great. I thought I was going to be great in the kingdom. What the heck happened here? And a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the prison. But see, but God, see, whatever happens that doesn't make sense or not right in your life, but God. But God, who is great in his mercy, therewith he loved us with an everlasting love. The Lord was with, but God, the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in sight of the keeper of prison. Psalm 5 verse 12 says, "He surrounds us with favor like a shield." The shield of faith is also a shield of favor. Hallelujah. God makes favorable circumstances. "And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison." This guy's got a powerful anointing of leadership on him. everywhere he went down there, they were trying to raise him up. And whatever they did there, it was his doing. One more, 23. And the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority. Whoa. He didn't even second guess him. Isn't that neat? Isn't that neat to know people? You can trust them. You say, hey, would you do this for me? And you can turn your back and leave it, and they're going to do it. That's the way it was. See, he trusted him. He knew he would do it. Keeper of the prison didn't look into anything that was under him because the Lord was with him. Everyone say with him. God was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Hallelujah. Yeah. What was that jingle I had in the first service? Remember that one jingle where I said, good word, Michael. What was that about? Something about the prison? All right. Should have written that down. So, but God. And that's the cool thing in this story about Joseph is, but God. See, Tracy brought it up. The devil tried to take her out, but God. Whatever your circumstance, whatever situation happens, but God. But God. So, I'm going to leave you hanging in the story, but I'll finish it with Psalm 73, verse 26. I love this verse. Because my flesh and my heart fall short. My heart and my flesh fall short. But God, everyone shout, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. When we're weak, when our flesh is weak, and when our heart fails, God by His Spirit comes in and fills us with strength so we can fight the battle and win the battle and be the strength of our heart and His portion forever. Hallelujah. All right. Praise God. Let's stand. Oh, man. Thank you, Father, for releasing revelation to us in this story. Greater revelation that we can put into our lives. Practical revelation, Lord. Even over and above what things I've come up with, Father. Practical revelation. I pray you just release that to each one of us, Lord, as we meditate on this story and as we go into the next round, Father, where we see where he gets lifted up and he becomes a type of Christ. Lord, what a great story. Thank you so much, Father, for revelation knowledge, as you've given us revelation knowledge. And Father, I just thank you that if any of us are in situations where we just really need some breakthroughs, but God. But God came through. But God did what he needed to do, and he did it. And so we thank you for that. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' precious name. And everybody shouted, amen. Hallelujah. Go and serve the Lord. Have a great week.